your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into the different areas of our lives. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. Today, I found Psalm 25, and in all full disclosure, I don't feel like I've been to Psalm 25 in quite some time, but gosh, I've been really touched by this psalm. I'm going to read this in what's called the Passion Translation. So Psalm 25 in the Passion Translation goes like this. It's a little bit lengthy, so hang in there and just soak in God's word. It goes like this. Forever I will lift up my soul into your presence, Lord. Be there for me, God, for I keep trusting in you. Don't allow my foes to gloat over me or the shame of defeat to overtake me. For how could anyone be disgraced when he has entwined his heart with you? But they will all be defeated and ashamed when they harm the innocent. Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. Forgive my failures as a young man and overlook the sins of my immaturity. Give me grace, Lord. Always look at me through your eyes of love, your forgiving eyes of mercy and compassion. When you think of me, see me as one you love and care for. How good you are to me. When people turn to you, they discover how easy you are to please, so faithful and true. Joyfully you teach them the proper path, even when they go astray. Keep showing the humble your path and lead them into the best decision. Bring revelation light that trains them in the truth. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who follow the ways of his covenant. For the honor of your name, Lord, never count my sins and forgive them all. Lift their burden off my life. But still one question remains. How do I live in the holy fear of God? Show me the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be my portion, and my descendants will inherit all that is good. There is a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Rescue me, Lord, for you're my only hero. Sorrow fills my heart as I feel helpless, mistreated. I'm all alone and in misery. Come closer to me now, Lord, for I need your mercy. Turn to me, for my problems seem to be going from bad to worse. Only you can free me from all these troubles. Until you lift this burden, the burden of all my sins, my troubles and trials will be more than I can handle. Can't you feel my pain? Vicious enemies hate me. There are so many, Lord. Can't you see? Will you protect me from the power against me? Let it never be said that I trusted you and you didn't come to my rescue. Your perfection and faithfulness are my bodyguards. For you are my hope, and I trust in you as my only protection. Zealously, God, we ask you to come save Israel from all her troubles, for you provide the ransom price for your people. Again, that's Psalm 25. Again, thank you so much for listening to the program this morning, and I hope you enjoy Psalm 25 today. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we have a website. Please visit everydayfaithradio.com. Again, thanks for tuning in. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. We'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us. And then you're out of desperation. And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us back on the program, I got him back. My friend Kevin Wirt is back for part two. Kevin, you're the only guest who's ever done back-to-back interviews. I thank you so much for being available and coming on the program.
Yeah, wow. Thanks, Jeff. I feel honored to be the first back-to-back guest.
Back-to-back. We had so much fun last week on the program, and I want to dive in. And, you know, all my quote-unquote radio training has taught me that I'm supposed to kind of warm up the guest a little bit and ask you some easy questions. I'm not doing that today, so I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm getting right into a deep and heavy question.
Yes.
You ready?
Sure.
All right. Can you share with our listeners a time when your faith helped carry you through a very difficult circumstance?
Yeah, Jeff, it was undoubtedly the time 20 years ago this December, this coming December. My stepfather was killed in a tragic car accident. Actually, my mom was with him. Thankfully, she survived the accident, spent the night in the hospital for observation. But yes, my stepfather was tragically killed in a car accident just a few days after my third son was born in Richmond. And my parents were on their way from Roanoke to Richmond so that I could bring my wife and new baby home. And they can stay with my other two children at the house. And so I'm waiting on my parents to get there. And I get this phone call, and I'll never forget it. I get this phone call from a gentleman down in the Amelia County area. And he worked the accident with the rescue squad or fire department down there. And he said, Kevin, he said, your parents have been in a bad car accident. Mm. And he said, your mom said for you to go to the hospital, bring your wife and baby home, and, you know, that was about it, you know. And I said, are they okay? And he said, well, your dad's been hurt really bad. But he, you know, let me know that my mom was okay, but I knew that my dad was in a very critical condition. They med-flighted him to MCV, and he died on arrival. So, yeah.
Talk to me about how Jesus shows up for you in the middle of kind of that whole pain and suffering. Where was Jesus during that for you?
Yeah, it was. I overheard someone say the other day about life being unfair, and when I got the report that he had died on arrival there, actually the gentleman that I was working with for a ministry to business people there, Needles in Richmond, had gone. I had called him. I said, you know, can you please go to the hospital and check on my dad? He's being med-flighted MCV. I'm going to get my wife and baby and bring them home. And so he did. And so as we got home from the hospital with the new baby and we had a friend stay with the kids, he drove into the parking lot and got out of his vehicle, and I thought, wow, you know, he's coming, showing up early here. He got here fast. It must be good news. And I just assumed wrongly, obviously. And he said, Kevin, I'm sorry. You know, and it just was the deepest, darkest day of my life. And I just said, and I cried out. I said, it's not fair. I said, it's just not fair.
Especially, here's your father coming to serve you.
Yeah, and celebrate a new birth.
Right.
Yeah. It was just tragic. Thankfully, Jeff, they had been there the day that the baby had been born. This is my son, Brighton. They had been there the day he was born, and they had seen him, and we had celebrated. And the last memory I have of my stepdad is when they left us to go back to Roanoke that night. You know, we hugged and said we loved each other, and that was the last memory I had of him. So I chose not to see him at the hospital at MCV after he had died. I chose not to do that. I chose not to see him at the funeral home either. So I wanted my last memory to be of that hug and that those last words that we said.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of parachuting myself into your story 20 years ago, and I'm just getting a little taste of how you've got such a mix of emotions. You have the joy of new birth and family happening at the same time. Talk about two waves kind of colliding. You have this joy on the one hand of my son, and then you have the passing of your father and the tragedy on the I'm struggling with that, and obviously that I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it was quite the height of joy and the depth of despair.
Mm-hmm.
It was those extremes in a very short amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and so it really it tested my faith. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I knew, you know, it didn't cause me to doubt God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it called me to question God,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't cause me to doubt His existence or any of those things. It was just a deep sort of pain that was. Just like nothing I'd ever felt,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'd had losses before, grandparents and things like that, but
right.
but nothing so quick, sudden, and drastic and dramatic like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the poem?
Yeah. Right. So the amazing thing was, this is where God really did show up in a lot of amazing ways throughout that whole time. But there was a special poem. My stepfather wrote poetry regularly and for many, many years. And he finally got to the point where he was recording a lot of those things, or I say recording, you know, writing them down and keeping them. We even had a little booklet made of them and everything. So after they had gone back home from Richmond to Roanoke after the baby was born, after Brighton was born, he crafted a poem.
Mm.
And the amazing thing was he put it to me in an email.
Mm.
And so when I finally got back to work at my office after the funeral, after all of that, that was the last email in my inbox from him.
Oh, my. What a gift.
So it really was. So if we have time.
Yeah. And let me just check in here. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we have Kevin Wirt. My friend is on the program for the second time. He was on last week. He's on again this week, and he's sharing how God shows up in the middle of pain and suffering and the passing of his father 20 years ago.
Yeah. I was 33. I'm 53 this April. I would have been 33 at that point.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's 20 years goes by fast.
Yes.
But you know, at 33 years of age, having had already two sons, and this is my third son, and then, boom, just losing my stepfather so suddenly. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, let's hear that poem.
Yeah, so he wrote this, and it's entitled Thoughts from Brighton. So he's writing as if he's Brighton, the child that was just born.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. I think I may have mentioned last week on the program that my stepfather was quite the evangelist, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't mean that as he was an evangelist, really. He was actually an auto repair man and a tow truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were selling real estate at the time, but he was not an evangelist like Billy Graham or something like
mm-hmm.
that. He just had a gift for sharing his faith. And so the poem reflects that. It's very short, very sweet. It says, "Tell me about Jesus, whom you love so. Tell me about Jesus, I want to know. Tell me about Jesus as I learn to walk. Then I can tell others as I learn to talk. If I follow your footsteps and study God's word, then I can tell others who have never heard. So be sure to teach me and show me the way so we can meet Jesus some glorious day." And I got to tell you, just got us through.
Mm-hmm.
I read this at the funeral service, and my wife carries this with her in her wallet to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a beautiful, beautiful reminder of the grace that God had given him to be able to share with his stepsons and his family.
That Wow, that is so powerful. In so many ways. And what a gift for you to carry. And I just can't imagine discovering that in your email box after everything you'd been through. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe they call that a God wink or something. You know, here all of a sudden is the most valuable, precious gift you could ever get.
Yeah. And, you know, he surely had no idea that writing that poem and sending me that right. email mm-hmm. that day would be the last thing that he did, last poem he would write, mm-hmm. the last email he would send me. You know, so it is a vivid reminder to me, too, of the brevity of life, mm-hmm. the not the futility of life, because I don't believe life is futile in any sort of way, but it is brief, and none of us knows, you know, how much time we're here for.
Mm-hmm. You know? I obviously never met your father, but mm-hmm. I can see what an impact he's had on your life mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how that has really been a blessing to you. Yeah. And so thank you for sharing that story and your journey kind of through the pain of that. But we serve a great God, and it's hard to say that in the middle of loss. But what a beautiful, glorious God that we serve, and He is the answer to all of our pain and suffering that we go through on a day-to-day basis. And when you turn to Him, you know, He can fix a broken heart.
Yes, yes, and He is He truly is the great comforter, and mm-hmm. and you know, the Holy Spirit ministered to us in ways, you know, during that time that we just didn't understand how God could be there and comfort us and give us joy in the midst of mm-hmm. so much pain and loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more of our interview with Kevin Wirt. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us again on the program, we have my friend Kevin Wirt. Kevin is back with us, and we just kind of walk through some of the pain and suffering that that he experienced 20 years ago at the passing of his father. And but at the same time, the joy of the birth of your third son, at the same time the passing of your father. My head is still spinning when I think about that, Kevin. So but I'm wondering if you could share with our listeners maybe any lessons that you've learned that you could share with our listeners about, you know, kind of what came mm-hmm. out of that for you yeah. during that experience.
Yeah, Jeff, it you know, the main lesson I think through that for us at that time was just taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, you know, and having patience, mm-hmm. you know, because I have experienced this in our family, and so I've experienced it firsthand. You can imagine when a sudden accident like that happens, and then, you know, you're just practically the same day bringing your baby home from the hospital in Richmond, and you got to think about doing a funeral in Roanoke. Mm. You know, it's just like, whoa, wait a minute. The world needs to stop here for a minute, mm-hmm. you know? And so thankfully I had a much, you know, beloved pastor in Roanoke at my home church who was able to, you know, encourage us and minister to us from afar, and then family down there. But he was so gracious, and we really struggled with, you know, trying to get that funeral done on Monday. You know, this was Thursday when the accident occurred, and we were like, well, you know, we can probably get this done, you know, on Monday. And I find that a lot of times when there's a sudden tragedy, people just want to get it over with. Mm. You know, they just want to do the funeral fast and get it done with and go mm. on mm. like it never happened. You know, I mean, again, it depends on the circumstances. But in our case, we just needed time. We mm. needed time to grieve. We needed time to process this. Mm-hmm. You know, we had just brought our third child home from the hospital. I mean, we were like, you know, at first thought, we were like, well, can we even bring a baby to a funeral in Roanoke with people and, mm. and all that, you know? And so the baby needed at least one more day to grow a little bit, mm. you know? And mm-hmm. so we ended up, you know, all of us being able to go and participate in the funeral. But I also wasn't sure whether I would be able to speak at the funeral, mm. But I did. I knew that my stepfather wouldn't want anybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the pastor spoke too, and it was wonderful, wonderful mm-hmm. service. But I knew that I had to do that, mm-hmm. you know, because I knew that he would want me to speak at mm-hmm. his service. Mm-hmm. And so God gave me incredible grace and freedom to do that. But, you know, the funeral didn't happen on Monday. The funeral happened on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We pushed it back another day mm-hmm. to give us more time to get adjusted and to just grieve and mm-hmm. to make sure that we were prepared to really effectively not only, you know, honor his memory and grieve well, but just to make it work well for everybody. So I would encourage people, if you go through a sudden tragedy, a sudden loss, you know, don't be quick to just go through the steps that happen, obviously, mm-hmm. after a death. Take your time, mm-hmm. you know, give space for grief and give space for God mm-hmm. to give you the comfort and strength to go forward, because that grieving time is so important mm-hmm. and so much needed. And sometimes people just want to move through it too quickly.
Were there any, when we think about the Christian community and life together, mm-hmm. were there any, key neighbors or acquaintances or old friends that showed up on the scene that just helped kind of keep you stitched together as well?
Yes, countless people. You know, I obviously, as many of us know, you know, when tragedy happens, usually lots of people, you know, come to rally around and support, not only in the church, but in the community. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my experience through the years as a pastor, too, when there's a sudden tragedy or unexpected, you know, loss, that people do really want to show their support, and that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, lots of people did. I'm sure my wife, all my family members could think of special people mm-hmm. that were there during that mm-hmm. time. The two people that meant the most to me at that time that really were there for us actually came from Richmond. It was our pastor in Richmond at the church we were members of. And then the director of the ministry that I worked for, mm-hmm. Buddy Childress, was there, and they participated in the service as mm-hmm. well.
Being on the receiving end of people providing ministry of presence, if you will, what would you say to our listeners in terms of how important that is as one who was, you know, the recipient of that? And if you're in a situation where you're not sure I should go, or maybe right. I should go or shouldn't yeah. go, what yeah. would you say to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just being there, just showing up is 90% of it, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's just showing up and shutting up, you know, and you don't have to say a lot.
That's a good word.
You know, you don't have to say a whole lot. I think people, you know, fear, oh, what am I going to say, you know? Now, I will say that there are certainly times where you need to say something, at least say I'm sorry. That's the simplest and best and probably easiest mm-hmm. thing to say is just say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, sorry for your loss. Sorry, mm-hmm. sorry this happened. You know, because there's not a lot of words. I mean, you know, there's no explanation for a lot of these things.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we have Kevin Wirt on the program. Kevin, thank you for sharing that about how God mm-hmm. shows up on the scene during pain and suffering. I want to shift gears here on the remainder of the show. You and I talked a little bit about the program before the program got started. You're preaching a message coming up on Philemon, and I had to confess to you that, you know, I've read Philemon, but I'm not sure what I was able to really dig out of Philemon. So I'm here for my Philemon lesson from you today, or anywhere you want to go on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Jeff. I think as this airs this Sunday, I'll be headed down to Farmville to speak in a sweet little church down there, Faith Bible Fellowship. I can name them, I hope. So mm-hmm. wonderful little fellowship there. I've spoken there many times, and it's just been a wonderful church. Our kids actually began their homeschooling journey in that co-op at that church. But Philemon is a wonderful little letter of Paul. I was telling you, you know, that it's just so awesome because I am a big fan of fan. That's probably not a good word, but you know, I love Paul's writings. I have been so nourished and encouraged through the writings of Paul, and Philemon is his shortest letter. And some of your readers, listeners may not know this, that all the letters of Paul are just arranged in, it's kind of odd, you know, they think, you'd think there's some great theological order to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the order of the longest letter to the shortest letter.
Oh, I did not know
yes.
that.
Yes. So Philemon, being the shortest letter, mm-hmm. comes right before Hebrews,
okay.
which is not written by
mm-hmm.
Paul, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want to attribute it to Paul. I think it was Luke, but, you mm-hmm. know, everybody has their theory. But anyway, Philemon comes right before Hebrews, it's not necessarily his last letter chronologically, but it's the shortest letter, certainly. But it has just has great, rich content. But at the end of Philemon, this is where I'm going to focus on Sunday, Paul gives a couple commands here to this runaway slave owner. You know, and it made me think, Jeff, that in a sense, we're all like runaway slaves. Mm. You know, we're all runaway slaves to sin, mm. you know, mm. and we've run away. And not to spiritualize what obviously was a real historical event here, but in a sense, we are all like runaway slaves. And the gospel grabs a hold of us and puts us back to our real master, mm. who's loving and merciful and gracious. Mm. And gives us the tools to live out, mm-hmm. you know, a life that's mm-hmm. not a life of slavery. I mean, it's a slave to God, which is so much better than a slave mm-hmm. to sin. But Paul says, at the end of the letter, he tells Philemon, so whom he loves and whom he appreciates and whom he says, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. That's the first command. In other words, treat your former runaway slave here as you would me.
Mm.
You know, welcome him as you would me. Now, that's gospel because, you know, most of the time we want to treat others as they treat us
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And Paul's saying, no, treat him as you would me, mm. you know. And then he goes on with this kind of thinking. He says, if he's done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me,
hmm.
you know?
Hmm.
And here's Paul in prison, too, hmm. writing. And he's like, you know, I'll be in your debt, not hmm. him.
Hmm.
Don't
hmm.
put him in your debt anymore. And he goes on. He says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me. It's so great. Paul says, you owe me your very self. Hmm. Now, what he means by that, it's hard to say. Hmm. You know, is it a spiritual thing or is it a literal thing that, you know, he saved his life or something, but he just puts him on notice. By the way, you owe me.
Yeah.
You owe me, Philemon, mm-hmm. you know, on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. That's another command. You know, refresh my heart,
mm.
you know. And then near the end here, he says, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask.
Mm.
And then one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. So he says, you know, finally he says, hey, I'm coming to check up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you really do more than I ask. And obviously it seems like Paul's very confident that he will do that. So I choose to believe that Philemon did just what Paul said he would do, more mm-hmm. than he asked, you know.
So wrapped in love and forgiveness, there is kind of what I just took out of it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And but I think in terms of reconciling relationships,
yes,
you know,
there you go.
In terms of reconciling relationships, there is this aspect in which we do need to intervene
mm-hmm.
on behalf of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do need to mediate, if you will, on behalf of others, and you know. Charge their debt to me, mm-hmm. you know, if need be, but don't hold it against them.
Mm, that's a good word. Well, Kevin, it's great to have you on second time. Who knows? We might be coming back for the third time, but you've been a blessing to me on this program, and I know our listeners will be blessed by hearing the story that you were able to share with us and sharing the message that you're preaching this weekend. So thank you. And I want to say to you, to your family, and to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need